When we listen to a Dharma talk, we're listening in a holistic way. We're listening with the heart. We're listening with the body. When we're taking notes, we tend to be listening with the mind because that's that's what's taking in, you know, catching specific words and making verbal connections with different ideas. So it kind of flattens out our experience if we're taking a lot of notes. If something really, if you like to take notes and it's helpful for you to take notes, and you want to just put down a few words, an idea that you're trying to hold on to because you really connected with it. Sometimes something really resonates, you really connect with it, and then because you're trying to hold on to it, you're not listening anymore. So then writing a few notes can be helpful, but not writing a lot of notes. I really encourage you not to, if that's your habit, to not write a lot of notes. So does that clarify the question? I'd like to say a few words in general before I begin today about how we listen and learn and practice on retreat. And especially there are quite a few people who haven't been on retreat before or who have only been on a few retreats. And in our experience, you know, going through school, you know, most of us who have had this experience of sitting in a room with a lot of people looking all in one direction and somebody's talking at the front of the room, well, there's going to be a quiz and you've got to remember it all, and it's pass or fail, and you're comparing yourself to, oh, he got a 95, how come I only got an 85? And it's that kind of comparing mind and kind of learning ideas about things, trying to remember them, and so because that's so ingrained in us, I'd like to just point out that it's a very different kind of learning experience when we're on retreat. So there are people here in this room who have who have not meditated before, who have courageously plunged into this experience of going on retreat and saying, oh, I'm just going to immerse myself in this experience. You know, bravo. And they're hearing and taking things in a very different way. There are also people on this retreat who have been practicing meditation for 15 years or more, who have done many retreats, and so they're going to be hearing things in a different way. They have, you know, experiences that they can connect with as we talk about different aspects of Dharma. An image that came to mind in contrast to a classroom, an image came to mind more like, imagine that you're at a buffet, okay, and it's like the tables are piled high with all kinds of wholesome and beautiful foods. And magically, what appears on your plate is what you most need, what your body needs to eat. So somebody there has a big salad on their plate with all kinds of leafy vegetables, and you have a lot of protein, and somebody over there is having chocolate pudding. So somehow your body knows what you need, and so it's magically appeared on your plate. And so your innate wisdom is actually kind of hears and responds to what you need to hear, what you're open to hear, what you're ready to hear. And things that maybe you don't connect with are seeds. They're seeds, wholesome seeds that maybe give you a sense of a kind of a larger picture, there's something that's really alive for you now, that comes up in what you're hearing in the teaching, is coming up in your meditation practices, and so that's what you need to attend to, and so trust that experience, trust that wisdom, that you are, and it may not even be, you know, an oh yes experience. It may be an oh no experience. Like sometimes things disturb us, which are true, which we really need to hear. Sometimes we feel a little uncomfortable when we hear things that kind of connect with habits of the mind, habits of our behavior that are unskillful, that are creating suffering in our lives. So it's that aliveness, which is where we need to attend. I'd like to encourage a sense of ease to be where you are in your practice. So there's a relaxation that should happen, but a relaxation which is also accompanied by right effort. So right effort is not about striving or comparing or trying to, you know, get everything, but right effort is just keep showing up. You keep showing up, you keep being present, you keep paying attention to what's going on in your practice. And so there'll be a lot that's offered, and then if there's unclarity or confusion or you have a question, then in the context of the small groups, the private interviews that we'll have, or there'll also be some opportunity for questions, you know, in the hall as well. Then you can clarify. So I'd like to talk this morning about insight meditation. Excuse me, I'm getting over a cold. Oh, there's a little note I made for myself in the margin, just about what I was just talking about the process of of working where you are, taking in what you can work with, and so there are three stages of Dharma practice or Dharma understanding. The first is hearing the Dharma. So you're going to be hearing over this weekend a lot of Dharma teaching, and so as I said, those are seeds. Some of it you'll work with deeply. Some of it will be kind of just giving you a big picture. The second stage is experiential understanding. So that's when all of this teaching, it's not to be simply understood with the mind and worked with intellectually. It's really, you are the laboratory. We, our bodies, our minds are the laboratory within which we experiment with these teachings and see if they are true, see how they are true within our own being. And then the realization is the third stage. So realizing them, coming to really, it's the light of awareness that dawns within us as we really realize these teachings. So I'd like to talk about insight meditation. Last night I gave an introduction to samatha teaching. Samatha meaning tranquility, so or calming. So last night the practice we did was to quiet the restless, driven, habit-driven mind. The mind learns to focus on a single object, to let go of, you know, habitual tendencies. Now, I'm not proposing that that in a single session the mind will necessarily have calmed down. So again, you know, you might continue working with samatha practice, or you might introduce some insight practice as I explain it today. So in samatha practice, there's a single object, and the object that I gave you last night was the breath. So you so as the mind goes into thinking, into imagining, there's a letting go of this habit of mind. It's actually, it's a practice of renunciation. Renunciation is simply letting go. So we let go of the planning. We let go of the remembering what happened, going back over a conversation that happened, or imagining some future conversation. We just let that go. And we say, no, not now. I'm going to be here with this breath in this moment. And so we keep coming back to this present moment experience, which is the simple experience of a single breath, a single in-breath, a single out-breath. We can also use other single objects. Some people use body sensation, you know, or sound can be used. Those are a couple of other objects that can be used for samatha practice. In vipassana practice, we open the field. Vipassana practice, vipassana is translated as insight, and it actually, when we break the word down, vipassana, the Pali word, it's seeing into. So it's seeing into our experience. Bill mentioned seeing clearly is sometimes a translation, or seeing deeply is another translation. So we're seeing into our experience, and we are maintaining a moment-by-moment concentration to see the nature of experience. So rather than going deeply into a state of absorption in the breath, you know, deep concentration, we're staying with a moment-by-moment attention to our present experience. And the intention in insight meditation is to know, directly know, not just intellectually understand the nature of the body, the nature of the mind, the nature of all experience. So the Buddha says to us, there are some things I want you to look to see when you are doing vipassana practice. So see if this is so. And he gives us a little direction, but he doesn't want us to take his word for it. He wants us to see it for ourselves. Everything is changing. Everything, every moment. There's not a moment or even a micro moment in which everything or anything remains permanent, unchanging. So the body is changing, The body is, you know, as we bring our attention deep into the body, we can see that there are sensations rising and falling all the time. And so we refine our capacity to attend in insight meditation so that we can see deeply into the changing nature of the body. Now we can see that the body is changing over long periods of time, right? We see a picture of ourselves when we were a baby or a kid or, a teenager and so on, and then we see that we're aging. So what the Buddha says is, if it's always changing, is it really you? I mean, in any sense, we can put a label on it, Daryl at 6 months. Well, okay, but, Daryl at 65, a little different. So, there's some continuity there in the DNA, perhaps, in certain patterns, but really, even though there's some continuity, it's not the same. So we can't really say that Daryl at 6 months is the same as Daryl today. And so that's why we question this idea, this insight into the changing nature of everything, of the body, of the mind. This insight into this really questions our perception that there is some kind of self. This is the question that Bill raised last night, that we're going to be examining. This idea, this belief that we have some kind of solid, permanent, unchanging self. So there are three things that the Buddha wants us to look at in insight meditation to see if we see. So the first is this, that everything's changing, moment by moment. So the mind is changing too. Our thoughts, our moods, our sensation, the senses, hearing, seeing, tasting, touching, smelling, and so on. It's all flowing through us. So all of this consciousness of seeing, consciousness of hearing, and so on. Then the Buddha said, the second thing that you should look out for is, what happens when you try to make what is permanent, what is impermanent, permanent? When you try to hold on to experience, oh, what a beautiful sunset. I just want to hold it. I just want to keep it in my mind. And so we're struggling, we're suffering. Oh, what a beautiful day. Or, I feel so good. I wish I could feel this way forever. Or another way that we try to hold on is by pushing away. So pushing away experience, resisting it. I don't like having this cold. I could get into a sulk about it, or why do I have to get sick of all times now? Why do I have to get sick? So that's another way of holding it, is by resisting what's coming up in our experience. I don't like this pain in my hip, so the body tightens around it, and it's a way of trying to get rid of it, but it's actually holding on to it. So the second thing is how we create suffering. So the first is impermanence, the second is this experience of suffering. And then the third thing the Buddha said to look for in our meditation experience is, as I was talking about before, if everything's changing, how can we say that there is a solid, permanent, independent self of anything, you know, of this stick, for example, you know, like that. We think of it as having self-existence, but actually, when we look at it with the eyes of wisdom, we see that in the stick there's sun and rain and earth, and you know, because it was a tree, right? Needed all these things to grow, and then there's human skill in creating tools to create such a simple and beautiful and useful tool, and then there's you know, there's, you know, what's the carbon footprint of this, where did it come from, you know, did it come from Thailand or Indonesia, you know, what's the carbon footprint, was the person who made this paid a just wage, what's the social justice index of this stick. So there, everything, the whole universe, all of time, is in this stick, because, you know, without the heavy metals like iron and zinc and gold that were created in the birth of stars, right at the beginning of time, human beings couldn't exist. The earth wouldn't exist as it does. Life wouldn't exist as it does. So when we look at anything, it's interconnected with everything. And so the Buddha said, you know, everything arises from causes and conditions, and there is no separate self. So he invites us to really, in our meditation, in our Dharma reflection, to really look in deeply, to see deeply into our experience. And this is the insight. These are the insights of insight meditation. So impermanence, everything's changing. Suffering, unsatisfactoriness, unreliability, those are different words that are used for the second. We try to grasp on to what can't be grasped. We try to hold on to it. And third, everything is changing and arising from conditions, and so it does, has no self-existence. So those are what we are coming to experiential understanding and realizing in our practice. So in insight meditation, the practice itself is that we begin, as we do in samatha practice, with a single object, with just, you know, attending to the breath, or just feeling body sensation, or sound. You know, I encourage you, if you're, you know, just beginning, to begin with the breath. It's a really wonderful object for meditation. And then in insight meditation, so rather than if something else comes into our awareness, into our field of awareness, in samatha, we would let go and come back to the breath. In insight meditation, we allow the mind to attend to the sound, perhaps, or the physical sensation, and we notice its impermanent nature. We notice its unsatisfactory nature. There are Pali words for these three insights, which I'll give you. The first is anicca, for impermanence. The second is dukkha, for the suffering, unsatisfactoriness. And the third is anatta, for the no-self, the selfless aspect. And it's it's helpful to know the Pali words, and they have a depth to them or a richness to them, which you know you may explore as you continue in your practice. So we may notice as we experience a physical sensation, we may notice that it's dukkha, that it's unpleasant, it's difficult. Instead of contracting around it, we see its impermanent nature. So we just let ourselves experience it without judging it, without resisting it. So the quality of attention in insight practice is called mindfulness, and mindfulness is attending in the present moment without judging, without resisting, without trying to grasp onto it, onto an experience. It's just really knowing without reactivity, knowing without a sense of I like this, I don't like this, I want this, I don't want this. Just simply knowing the experience and letting it move through us so we see its impermanent nature. And so the impermanence is really seems to be usually the what comes through most clearly. We're seeing the impermanent nature of sound. So a sound arises into awareness when we're meditating. And so, you know, even as the sound continues, there's a changing nature within the sound, the different qualities within the sound. So we can notice the changing nature of the sound, and then we notice that the sound passes away. And then we come back. So we keep coming back to this, what we call our anchor, the breath. Coming back, so we're hearing and then come back. Once we see the impermanent nature, we can come back. A thought will arise. We notice the thought arising. We see its impermanent nature. Come back. Now, sometimes we get hooked by thoughts. Might happen quite a few times in a sitting. So we get hooked. We get drawn into the thinking. We get drawn into the imagining. We get drawn into the inner dialogues. And then there's a moment of waking up. There's a mindful moment in which we recognize what's going on, that we're hooked. And then in that moment of recognition, notice what happens. We don't even need to let go, usually, because mindfulness has this quality of release. Mindfulness has this quality of non-attachment, of non-grasping. And so when the mind becomes mindful, release happens. And so then we come back to the anchor, we come back to the breath. So stillness is, in meditation, sitting with stillness is important because most of the time when we're moving our posture, we're chasing pleasant experiences. We're wanting to get rid of unpleasant sensations. So we feel a little stiffness in the knee or in the back, and so we shift. We feel a little sensation on the surface of the skin, and we do that, you know. And when the body doesn't come to stillness, the mind can't come to stillness. And the body is, you know, always involved in trying to get rid of unpleasant and try to hold on to pleasant experiences. So when there's a mild, just a slight discomfort or irritation in the body, and mindfulness is present, you can notice it. You can just be aware of it. And it will be there. It will. You can bring attention to it. See its impermanent nature. See how it moves around, changes. Come back to the breath. If there's an intensity of discomfort and you feel that, you know, you're really unable to hold a posture without, you know, a lot of struggle, then you could very quietly and mindfully shift, and maybe that might happen once during a sitting. But if it's happening, you know, many times during a sitting, then there's a restlessness of the mind which is taking over. So I say this as a guideline. Okay, so it's not to judge or to, you know, kind of in any way. It's not to judge. It's a working instruction for your practice so if you do, you know, if you're not mindful in a moment and you do, you know, scratch an itch or whatever, don't berate yourself about it. It's just go carry on. Then you're caught in the past and you're not being in the present. So I'd like us to do a practice. Before we do that, does anybody have any question about insight meditation practice? If you want to release your posture for a moment before you sit, you can do that, or just take a moment to stand up. Taking your seat is something that is an important beginning to every sitting. So we consciously take our seat. So remembering about finding a stable posture, a balanced posture, an energized posture, lifting through the spine, from the base of the spine through the crown of the head. Relaxing in the body, just allowing the body to be open, relaxed.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.